Okay, so get this. Imagine if we stumbled upon a time capsule, like a real life one, and it's packed with secrets of these ancient societies.
Oh, wow.
And it gives us like a brand new perspective on biblical times. That's exactly the journey we're taking today, a deep dive into ancient Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
Two discoveries we'll be looking at, the ancient city of Mari
Okay.
and the epic tale of Gilgamesh,
You think so
using
there?
and we're going to be using insights from
A lecture by Dr. David Schreiner
yeah.
called Pondering the Spade Session. Two Mari and the Gilgamesh Epic, two broad convergences.
And get ready because we're going to be transported back in time as we explore how these discoveries, they actually shed light on the world of the Bible.
What's fascinating is these discoveries don't directly line up with like specific biblical events,
Right.
but instead they offer like a broader understanding of the backdrop
Yeah.
against which the Bible was written. So the social structures, the beliefs, the cultural context, it's like stepping into a panorama of the biblical world.
Okay, let's start with Mari. This ancient city located in modern-day Syria was a vital hub on trade routes
Yeah.
connecting Mesopotamia and the land of ancient Israel.
Because of this strategic location, Mari's history, it actually spans millennia. We're going to be focusing on the third phase of the city, ruled by King Zimri-Lim around 7050 BCE. And what makes his reign so crucial to our understanding of this period is the incredible discovery of his royal archives.
So, what did they find? Secret treasures?
No.
Hidden chambers?
Not exactly hidden chambers, but what archaeologists unearthed was a treasure trove of written records, letters, administrative documents,
Wow.
even royal decrees.
It's like
And
Notre
these
Dame.
texts offer us an intimate glimpse into the daily life, the political intrigues, the social dynamics of
Yeah, it's
Mari.
like you're
It's
eavesdropping.
not every day we get to eavesdrop on the conversations of an ancient king and his court.
That's amazing to think that, like, seemingly mundane records, like administrative documents, can actually offer such valuable insights into the past.
Absolutely.
What are some of the most surprising revelations from these texts?
Well, one of the key things that Mari's text reveals is the prominence of the Amorites. And these are a semi-nomadic people
Oh,
who
yeah.
are often mentioned in the Bible,
Yeah, I remember about
not
these.
always in a positive light.
Right. Weren't they often portrayed as enemies of the Israelites?
That's right. And it's easy to kind of fall into that trap of seeing them as just one-dimensional villains.
Yeah.
However, Mari's text paint a much more complex picture. They show that the Amorites, they were integrated into the social, economic, and even political fabric of Mari. They were traders, herders, and even officials in the royal court.
So it's not as simple as good guys versus bad guys.
Right.
There was a lot more nuance to their relationship with urban centers like Mari.
Exactly.
Did these texts reveal anything about the dynamics between these different groups?
They did. Mari's texts shed light on this fascinating concept of dimorphic societies,
Okay.
where urban centers and nomadic or semi-nomadic groups coexisted,
Yeah.
often with a certain degree of tension between them. So imagine a city like Mari, with its grand palaces and bustling markets, existing alongside these groups of Amorites who lived a more mobile pastoral lifestyle. It's like two different worlds trying to find a way to coexist.
That dynamic sounds very familiar. It
Yeah.
reminds me of the biblical stories of Abraham and Lot, where you have these nomadic patriarchs interacting with these settled city dwellers.
Exactly. And that's what makes Mari so valuable. It helps us visualize the social landscape of the biblical world,
Right.
the interplay between different ways of life, and the challenges of maintaining peace and stability in
Yeah.
such a diverse society.
It's like Mari's giving us a backstage pass to the world of the Bible,
Right.
helping us understand these complexities of the society in which these stories unfolded.
Absolutely.
But before we move on to the Epic of Gilgamesh, I'm curious, did Mari reveal anything about the role of prophets in ancient society?
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
One of the most surprising discoveries in Mori's texts is the variety of terms used to describe prophets,
Okay.
suggesting that the prophetic office was much more diverse than we might imagine.
So it's not just about guys in robes standing on street corners predicting doom and gloom.
Not at all. Mori's texts reveal that prophets, they were involved in all aspects of society, from advising kings to interpreting dreams to acting as intermediaries between
Wow.
the gods and the people.
So they were kind of like
Ulu.
spiritual advisors, political consultants, and
Yeah.
community leaders all rolled into one.
That's a great way to put it.
Wow.
And Mori's texts, they offer some tantalizing parallels to the prophetic practices
Okay.
described in the Bible. suggesting that there were shared ideas about prophecy circulating throughout the ancient Near East. For example, both in Mori and the Bible, you see examples of what Dr. Schreiner calls inductive and deductive prophecy.
Wait, hold on. I'm not sure I fully grasp those terms.
Sure.
Could you break it down for us a bit?
Of course. Think of it this way. Inductive prophecy is like receiving a direct message or revelation.
Okay.
It's as if you suddenly have like a flash of insight or you hear a voice speaking directly to you. Deductive prophecy, on the other hand, is more about observing signs and interpreting them.
Okay.
Based on established traditions or principles.
Uh-huh.
It's like a detective piecing together clues to solve a mystery.
So inductive prophecy is more about intuition and direct revelation, while deductive prophecy is about using logic and knowledge to interpret signs and events.
Exactly. And both types of prophecy, they're evident in Mari's texts and in the Bible, suggesting that ancient people had a sophisticated understanding of the ways in which the divine could communicate with humans.
It's incredible how these ancient texts challenge our modern assumptions about prophets.
Yeah.
They offer a more nuanced view of their role in society.
Yeah.
It's like we're peeling back layers of history to reveal a world that was both familiar and surprisingly different from our own.
And that's what makes this journey so fascinating, right? We're constantly discovering these new connections and insights that deepen our understanding of the past and its relevance to the present.
Okay, so we've explored the bustling city of Mari.
Yes.
And uncovered some really tantalizing insights into the world of ancient prophets. Now I'm ready for some epic adventures. Let's dive into the tale of Gilgamesh.
The Epic of Gilgamesh, a tale that was passed down through generations in ancient Mesopotamia, offers a fascinating lens through which to view the world of the Bible.
Okay.
It's not a direct commentary, but rather a parallel narrative that helps us understand the cultural and intellectual landscape of the time.
For those of our listeners who might not be familiar with the Epic of Gilgamesh, can you give us a quick rundown of the story? It sounds like it's packed with adventure.
It definitely is.
Okay.
The epic centers on Gilgamesh, a historical king of Uruk, a powerful city in ancient Mesopotamia.
Mm-hmm.
And at the start of the story, he's portrayed as kind of a tyrannical ruler.
Okay.
Prompting the people to cry out to the gods for help.
So kind of like divine intervention was needed to set him straight.
You could say that the gods respond by creating Enkidu, a wild man.
Oh, wow.
Who is meant to challenge Gilgamesh and curb his excesses.
Mm-hmm.
However, the plan takes an unexpected turn when, instead of becoming rivals, Gilgamesh and Enkidu, they forge this deep bond of friendship and embark on a series of thrilling adventures together.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
What kind of adventures are we talking about?
Well, their adventures take them to the very edges of the known world.
Wow.
They face off against Humbaba, a monstrous guardian of the cedar forest, symbolizing the boundary between the human and the divine.
Wow.
They even incur the wrath of the goddess Ishtar.
Oh, no.
Who, after Gilgamesh rejects her advances, unleashes the bull of heaven upon Uruk.
It sounds like something straight out of a Hollywood blockbuster.
It does.
Wow.
But this friendship between Gilgamesh and Enkidu, it sounds like it's a key element of the story.
Yeah, what happens to them?
Tragically, their bond is cut short when Enkidu is struck down by the gods as punishment for their actions.
Oh, wow.
And this loss, it throws Gilgamesh into deep despair.
Yeah.
And he becomes consumed by this fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
And a desperate longing for immortality.
That fear of death, the desire to escape mortality, it's a theme that resonates across cultures and throughout history.
It really does.
What does Gilgamesh do?
Driven by this fear, Gilgamesh embarks on this parallel quest to find Anipishtim, the only human said to have achieved immortality.
Okay.
And this journey takes him across treacherous lands and seas.
Wow.
Testing his strength and resolve.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting for me. You said earlier that the Epic of Gilgamesh offers a unique perspective on the world of the Bible.
Right.
How does this quest for immortality connect to biblical themes?
That's a great question. And this is where we start to see some fascinating parallels and contrasts.
Okay.
You see, Utnapishtim in the Epic of Gilgamesh is essentially a Mesopotamian version of the biblical Noah.
Oh.
He's the one who built a giant boat and survived a great flood sent by the gods to wipe out humanity. Sound familiar?
It definitely does.
Yeah.
So we have a flood narrative in the Epic of Gilgamesh, but how does that help us understand the Bible any better?
Here's where things get even more intriguing.
Okay.
The flood narrative in the Epic of Gilgamesh, while sharing similarities with the biblical account, ultimately presents a very different worldview.
Okay.
In the epic, the gods are portrayed as capricious and often cruel,
sending
the flood as a way to just control a humanity they see as a nuisance.
Okay.
Utnapishtim's survival is seen as a stroke of luck, a random act of divine favor.
That's a stark contrast to the biblical account, where God sends the flood as an act of judgment, but also offers a path to salvation through Noah.
Right.
There's a sense of purpose and redemption in the biblical story that seems to be missing in the epic.
Exactly. And that difference in worldview is crucial.
Yeah.
By comparing these two accounts, we can see how the Bible, while drawing on shared cultural motifs, offers a unique and ultimately more hopeful perspective on the relationship between humanity and the divine.
It's like the Bible is having a conversation with the prevailing beliefs of the time, offering a radical alternative to the fatalistic worldview of the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Precisely. And this conversation isn't limited to the flood narrative.
Okay.
The Epic of Gilgamesh, with its focus on the futility of seeking immortality, stands in contrast to the biblical message of hope and the promise of eternal life through relationship with God.
So it's not just about the stories themselves, but about the deeper meaning they convey about humanity, the divine, and our place in the cosmos.
Absolutely. The Epic of Gilgamesh, while a captivating tale in its own right, serves as a powerful foil to the Bible, highlighting the distinctive message of hope and redemption that sets the biblical worldview apart.
Okay, I'm starting to see how these seemingly unrelated discoveries can illuminate each other and offer a deeper understanding of the Bible.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up our discussion of the Epic of Gilgamesh, I have to ask about something that has been bugging me.
All right.
You mentioned that Gilgamesh goes on this quest for immortality.
Right.
But what actually happens? Does he achieve his goal?
That's where the epic takes another interesting turn.
Okay.
Gilgamesh eventually finds Utnapishtim.
Yeah.
And pleads with him to reveal the secret of eternal life.
Uh-huh.
But Utnapishtim tells him that his immortality was like a one-time gift from the gods.
Oh.
Not something that could be replicated.
Right.
And he puts Gilgamesh through a series of tests.
Uh-huh.
Which he ultimately fails,
proving
that immortality is beyond human grasp.
So it's a story of shattered dreams and the acceptance of human limitations. Yeah. What happens to Gilgamesh after that?
Well, in the end, Gilgamesh comes to terms with the reality of death.
Okay.
And returns to Uruk, finding solace in the legacy he will leave behind as a wise and just ruler.
Okay.
He accepts his role as a mortal king, focused on leaving a lasting impact on his city and his people.
It's a powerful message about finding meaning and purpose within the confines of our human existence, even in the face of death.
Exactly.
It's interesting to see how this ancient tale grapples with such universal themes.
Absolutely.
But before we move on, I want to talk about the discovery of the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Sure.
It sounds like it was an adventure in itself.
The discovery of the Epic of Gilgamesh is a story that rivals the epic itself.
Okay, you've got to tell us more.
Okay.
Who are the key players in this archaeological treasure hunt?
Well, it all started in the mid-19th century with Austin Henry Layard.
Okay.
A British archaeologist
who
was excavating the ancient Assyrian city of Nineveh.
Wow.
And he was more interested in uncovering grand monuments and treasures.
Okay.
But in the process, he stumbled upon this vast collection of clay tablets.
Uh-huh.
Covered in cuneiform script.
So these tablets were kind of like accidental finds overlooked in the pursuit of bigger, flashier discoveries.
Exactly. At the time, the decipherment of cuneiform was still in its early stages.
Right.
So the significance of these tablets wasn't fully appreciated.
Yeah.
Layard shipped them back to the British Museum, where they sat in storage for years, gathering dust.
It's like finding a lost masterpiece in your attic.
It is.
But surely someone eventually realized their potential.
That's where George Smith enters the picture.
Okay.
He was a brilliant but somewhat unassuming scholar working as a tablet repairer at the British Museum.
Okay.
And while piecing together fragments of these ancient tablets, he began to recognize a familiar story emerging from the cuneiform script.
Hold on, you're not talking about the flood story again, are you?
You guessed it.
Wow.
Smith identified a tablet that contained a version of the flood myth remarkably similar to the biblical account.
Okay.
And this discovery sent shockwaves through the scholarly world.
Wow.
And sparked a frenzy of excitement.
It must have been an incredible moment. Imagine the thrill of piecing together a lost story that had been buried for centuries.
I know, it's amazing.
What happened next?
Well, Smith became an overnight celebrity.
Wow.
And was even sent on expeditions to Mesopotamia to find more fragments of the epic.
Oh, wow.
Tragically, he died during one of these expeditions.
Oh, no.
But his work paved the way for a deeper understanding of this ancient masterpiece.
It's a testament to the power of human curiosity and the dedication of scholars like George Smith that we can now appreciate the Epic of Gilgamesh in all its complexity.
Absolutely. And the story of the Gilgamesh epic is still unfolding.
Right.
To this day, scholars continue to uncover new fragments and refine our understanding of its origins and evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this giant jigsaw puzzle with each new piece adding to the richness and complexity of the picture.
Okay.
But it's not just about the story itself.
Yeah.
The discovery of the Epic of Gilgamesh has had a profound impact on our understanding of the Bible and its place in history.
Okay, I'm ready to have my mind blown by it.
How does this ancient Mesopotamian epic illuminate the world of the Bible? For one thing, the epic offers these invaluable insights into the literary conventions of the ancient world.
Okay.
Particularly the processes of compiling, editing, and refining narratives over time.
Okay.
The Epic of Gilgamesh, as we know it today, is not a single unified text, but a composite work.
Uh-huh.
Woven together from different stories and traditions that circulated in ancient Mesopotamia.
You're talking about the epic's long and complicated literary history, right?
Right.
How it evolved from individual tales into a cohesive narrative over centuries.
Exactly. And this process of compilation and redaction, this weaving together of different strands of tradition, helps us understand the development of biblical texts as well.
Okay.
The Bible, like the Epic of Gilgamesh,
right,
is not a monolithic work that sprang fully formed from the minds of its authors.
Right.
It, too, went through various stages of editing,
mm-hmm.
compilation,
yeah.
and interpretation.
So we're not just talking about stories here, but about the way those stories were shaped and transmitted over time.
Right.
Influenced by different cultural and historical contexts.
Precisely understanding the Gilgamesh epic's literary evolution helps us appreciate the complexity of the biblical canon.
Yeah.
And the role of scribes and editors in preserving and shaping sacred texts.
Right.
It reminds us that the Bible, while divinely inspired, is also a product of its time,
mm-hmm.
shaped by the literary conventions and cultural influences of the ancient world.
This is mind-blowing.
I know.
It's like we're not just reading ancient words,
yeah.
but engaging with a living tradition that has been passed down through generations, shaped and reshaped by the communities that have cherished it.
And that's what makes the study of ancient texts so fascinating.
It really is.
They offer a glimpse into the past,
yeah.
while also challenging us to think critically about our own assumptions and interpretations.
Okay, so we've explored the social world of ancient Mesopotamia.
Yes.
Delved into the captivating tale of Gilgamesh. And uncovered fascinating parallels and contrasts with the Bible.
Yes.
But I have to ask, what's the big takeaway here?
Okay.
Why should we care about these ancient echoes? Why should they matter to us today?
That's a great question. And it's one that lies at the heart of our deep dive.
Okay.
You see, these discoveries remind us that the Bible wasn't written in a vacuum.
Right.
It's a product of a specific time and place.
Yeah.
Influenced by the cultural ideas and literary traditions of the ancient Near East.
So by understanding its historical and cultural context, we can unlock a deeper meaning and relevance for our own lives today.
Absolutely. By exploring the world of Mary,
yeah.
the Epic of Gilgamesh,
yeah.
and other ancient discoveries, we gain this richer appreciation
okay.
for the Bible's unique message and its enduring impact on human history.
Okay.
We can see how the biblical authors were both shaped by and challenging the prevailing worldviews of their time,
uh-huh.
offering a radical alternative that continues to resonate with us today.
It's like these ancient echoes help us hear the Bible with fresh ears.
Right. To appreciate its nuances and complexities in a way that we might otherwise miss.
Precisely. They remind us that the Bible is not a static text frozen in time,
right.
but a living document that continues to speak to us across the centuries,
mm-hmm.
challenging us,
yeah.
inspiring us,
yeah.
and inviting us to engage with its timeless wisdom.
This has been an incredible deep dive.
It has.
But we're just scratching the surface. I can already feel my brain buzzing with new insights and questions.
And that's the beauty of learning.
It really is.
It's this never-ending journey of discovery.
But we have to pause here for now. Join us next time as we continue our deep dive into Mari and the Epic of Gilgamesh, exploring the concept of narrow convergence.
Okay.
And how specific archaeological discoveries can directly illuminate biblical texts and events.
It's incredible how these ancient texts, like the Epic of Gilgamesh, can challenge our modern assumptions about the world.
Yeah, it's like they're holding up a mirror. you know?
Right. Reflecting not just the beliefs of ancient cultures, but also like our own preconceived notions.
Exactly. It makes you realize that our way of seeing the world, it's not the only way.
Mm-hmm.
And that other cultures, they've grappled with life's big questions in ways that can surprise us and enlighten us.
Yeah, it's like stretching our mental muscles, you know?
Yeah.
Expanding our capacity for empathy and understanding.
Speaking of expanding our understanding, let's revisit that concept of dimorphic societies that we touched on earlier.
Okay.
It really challenges our modern tendency to categorize everything into neat boxes.
Right. Like the idea that urban centers and nomadic groups could coexist, sometimes harmoniously, sometimes in tension, you know?
Yeah.
It's a reminder that the ancient world was much more fluid and interconnected than we often imagine.
Exactly. And Murray's texts, they offer a glimpse into that fluidity.
Yeah.
Showing how different groups interacted, they traded, they formed alliances, and occasionally clashed. It wasn't a simple division between, like, civilized city dwellers and barbaric nomads.
Right. It was way more nuanced than that.
Right.
It's like a complex dance.
Yeah.
With different partners swirling in and out, sometimes stepping on each other's toes.
Right.
But also, you know, creating something beautiful and intricate.
And that dance is still going on today. As different cultures and communities, they try to navigate their relationships in this increasingly globalized world.
So these ancient echoes, they aren't just about the past.
Right.
They offer insights into the enduring human challenges of diversity, identity, the dynamics of power.
Precisely. They invite us to examine our own assumptions about how societies function and how different groups interact.
Okay, before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to bring it back to that central question. How do Mari and the Epic of Gilgamesh illuminate the biblical world?
They provide a richer, more textured backdrop for understanding the Bible's historical, cultural, and literary landscape.
It's like they're adding depth and color to a painting.
Yeah.
Helping us to see the nuances and details that we might otherwise miss.
Exactly. They shed light on the world in which the Bible was written. The beliefs and practices of the surrounding cultures, the social and political dynamics, the literary conventions of the time.
And by understanding this context, we can appreciate the Bible's message with greater depth and nuance, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We can see how the biblical authors were both products of their time and also prophetic voices challenging the prevailing worldviews.
It's that tension, that dialogue with the surrounding culture that makes the Bible's message so compelling, so enduring.
It reminds us that the Bible wasn't written in a vacuum, but emerged from a specific historical and cultural context.
And by engaging with that context, we can better understand the Bible's relevance for our own lives today.
Precisely. It's a message that speaks to the deepest longings of the human heart, offering hope, meaning, and purpose in a world that can often feel chaotic and uncertain.
This deep dive has been an incredible journey.
It really has.
From the bustling city of Mary to the epic adventures of Gilgamesh, we've uncovered these fascinating insights into the world of the Bible.
And we've just scratched the surface. There's so much more to explore.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling inspired to do some more digging into these topics.
Me too. It's a reminder that learning is a lifelong adventure full of unexpected discoveries.
And that the past is never truly past. It continues to speak to us in ways that can surprise us and challenge us.
Absolutely. So to our listeners, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep discovering those hidden connections that link us to the ancient world and illuminate the enduring power of the Bible.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep the conversation going.